This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Belinda from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Monday, the 3rd of August, and the time is 6 a.m. in New York. Equities showed mixed performance to start the week. At the latest U.S. close, the S&P 500 gained 0.7%, while the Nasdaq rose 0.6%. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 added 0.4%, and Switzerland's SMI gained 50 basis points, respectively. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 fell 0.9%. In foreign exchange, the euro buys 1.153 US dollars while the dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs. The US 10-year treasury yield is 4.69% after falling 4 basis points. Brent crude dropped 5.1% to $83 a barrel, while gold edged 10 bips higher to $4,054 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Belinda. So, can you start by setting the scene for how markets came through July?
Hi, Aaron. Global markets had an eventful July. The re-escalation in U.S.-Iran tensions drove a rebound in oil prices. Renewed inflation fears pushed up bond yields, and a reassessment of the AI trade weighed on semiconductor stocks. Brent crude rose 23.6%, while the 30-year Treasury yield ended the month at its highest level since 2007. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index fell 20.6%.
And what changed as August got underway?
Well, investor sentiment appeared better at the start of August, with U.S. President Donald Trump saying talks with Iran would take place on Monday. He had earlier called off an imminent attack in the hope of reaching a deal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Megacap technology earnings last week also showed that cloud revenue growth accelerated further and that near-term capital spending by hyperscalers remains strong.
Okay, so what's your assessment of the prospects for an agreement and the reopening of the strait?
How quickly an agreement will be reached and the strait reopened remains to be seen. But our base case is still that energy flows through the waterway should recover gradually over time.
So where does that leave the broader market outlook?
So robust earnings growth should drive further upside in global equities, while moderating inflation should allow the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates unchanged for the remainder of this year. Separately, while oil may remain below its wartime high, a slower-than-expected normalization of energy supply should keep Brent crude supported. Favorable fundamentals also support broad commodity exposure.
And how broad is the earnings strength across global equity markets?
Well, in short, the U.S. second quarter results season so far has shown strong profit momentum, with both the breadth and magnitude of earnings beats coming in above historical averages. We continue to see upside risk to our S&P 500 earnings per share growth estimate of 20% for this year. We also believe resilient consumer spending and improving cyclical strength should support a broadening rally. Meanwhile, in Europe, companies are delivering their strongest performance in more than 3 years, with continued upgrades to the Stoxx Europe 600 earnings estimates. The region's outperformance in recent months also underscores our view that investors should seek diversified equity exposure to participate in market gain. In Asia, we expect profits to rise 72% this year.
How are you thinking about quality fixed income after the recent bond market sell-off?
Yeah, good question. Longer maturity bonds did sell off toward the end of last week after Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Warsh declined to provide details on his policy reaction function or his strategy for lowering inflation. That sent inflation expectations higher. We do, however, continue to expect data in the coming months to show further disinflation as tariff effects fade, allowing markets to scale back their expectations for Federal Reserve rate hikes. Current high starting yields provide a material cushion against rate increases before potential losses are realized. We therefore continue to view quality fixed income as both a source of income and a portfolio hedge, particularly through short and medium maturity bonds.
And beyond equities and bonds, what role can commodities play in a portfolio?
Commodities remain a useful portfolio diversifier. The path toward a swift normalization of energy flows through the Strait of Hormuz has proved challenging, highlighting the case for portfolio exposure to energy. But we also see reasons for a broader allocation. AI infrastructure and electrification underpin the long-term outlook for industrial metals. The high probability of the current El Niño episode developing into a very strong or super El Niño by the end of the year also supports the return potential of agricultural commodities. Gold remains a useful strategic diversifier. While the latest World Gold Council report points to weaker investment and jewelry demand in the second quarter, central bank and over-the-counter purchases remain strong.
And where does all of this leave your portfolio guidance?
We continue to recommend that investors maintain diversified exposure across equities, quality fixed income, and commodities. Geopolitical risks could keep market volatility elevated, but strong corporate earnings, moderating inflation, and resilient demand should provide a constructive backdrop for global markets over the remainder of the year.
Great. Thanks, Belinda. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. The Japanese yen extended its sharp appreciation against the US dollar on Monday after Japan, and the U.S. conducted coordinated yen buying intervention on Friday. Japan's finance ministry confirmed the intervention earlier on Monday and said authorities would not hesitate to take further action. The dollar-yen rate was trading at 156.7 at the time of writing, down from as high as 163.94 last week. Government intervention has capped the near-term upside risks for the dollar-yen rate, but it hasn't changed the underlying drivers of yen weakness. The absence of a final warning before the intervention makes future action less predictable and potentially more effective at deterring speculative positioning. Still, Japan's policy mix remains unlikely to generate sustained yen strength, with the Bank of Japan expected to continue its gradual policy normalization and real rates remaining negative. The yen should continue to receive more support from intervention risk than from domestic monetary fundamentals. While we acknowledge that the risk of a Bank of Japan rate hike before December has increased, expectations for Federal Reserve policy remain the key swing factor for the dollar-yen rate in our view. Looking ahead to the 4th of August, investors will be watching U.S. June JOLTS job openings and the U.S. June balance of trade. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/cio-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.